able to look at the priesthood from before the Old Testament, then the Old Testament, then the New Testament. So a very good student of the Bible will be able to, you know, look at the significance and then the difference or differences that exist, you know, in the three times that I've just highlighted. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll start from verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone is allowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He says, as unto a living stone. That is, we have come to a living stone. Now, like I told you before, you find the word lively stone, but really the word is living stone. The translators change it to lively stone so that there will not be a semblance between how Jesus is described and how we are described. But it is lack of understanding. We are what we are by identification. By identifying with Jesus, we are called living stones. Not because we are individuals or as a merit of what we do or what we have done or what we can do. Rather, that comes by identification. For instance, the man who is born again is called Christ. Not because he died for sins. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what communication? It says that darkness will light. What fellowship he that believes in an infidel? You know, what path he that believes in an infidel? What fellowship will light with darkness? What, you know, concord at Christ with Belial? So he calls the man who is a Christian Christ. He even calls him righteousness. That's not because the man who is a Christian qualifies on his own, but he qualifies because of Jesus. So we are what we are by identification. That is, because I belong, just like today, you know, my surname is a function of being born by my father. I can't lay claim to earning my surname. If, for instance, I'll give you an instance now. My family happens to come from a royal family. In fact, in my town, there are three royal families, three ruling houses. We belong to all three. So, there's nobody that becomes a king there that is not either my cousin or my uncle, and thereabouts. I want to say my aunt. So, you know, either way, I can't. If I become a king tomorrow, don't get scared. I won't say, well, I fought it, I did this. No, I became a king. I'll become a king by identification. That's all. I can't have merits, as it were. So the same way, when you're called a living stone, it's not because you are living. Rather, it's because you are living in Him. You're a living stone in Him. Praise God. Say, I'm a living stone in Christ Jesus. So you also, as living stones, verse 5, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I'll take that again. 1 Peter 2, 5. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now look at Revelation chapter 1. I'll take it from verse 5 and then verse 6. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Look at verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever. I'll take 6 again. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood of thy kindred, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So He says, because we have been redeemed and we're washed in His blood, we have been made kings and priests in the earth. And so we said, priesthood is the word to be a mediator, to stand in between two people, two parties that are not together. So you stand on behalf of one to another, then you're a priest of that one, you know, before the higher authority. In this case, God chose priests to serve Him on behalf of the people. Now we said the word priest, I'll say that again, is a mediator, somebody who stands in between. Now the very first mention of the word priest is in Genesis chapter 14. Let's go there. Melchizedek, who met, and never forget what a priest is. You see, and this is oftentimes we forget the meaning of the word. Now, if a priest is someone who ministers on behalf of one, to one, that's what it is. A priest is somebody who ministers on behalf of one to another. That's what a priest is. That's how you define a priest. So, in Genesis chapter 14, we find a man by the name Melchizedek. We spend time to explain who he is, who he was. The king of Sodom, Melchizedek, was Genesis 14, verse 6, 17. Went out to meet him, that Abraham, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. He was the priest of the Most High God. That's the very first time we'll find the word priest. One who goes on your behalf, okay, to God, and then ministers back to you the blessings of God. That's what a priest is. He ministers back to you the blessings of God. He goes before God, takes an offering before God on your behalf, then ministers back to you. Now, I told you last week that Abraham needed that priest in Genesis 14. Okay? He had to go to God through a medium. God called him Genesis chapter 12. You know the story? And then he went to Canaan with Lot, northern Genesis 13. So Genesis 14, he goes to rescue Lot, his brother, and his nephew, and then left Lot's goods. So when he was coming back from the war, he goes to Melchizedek and takes an offering to Melchizedek, a tithe, a tenth of all he brought from the war. He takes it to Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is called the priest of God because that's what priests do. He goes to God through Melchizedek. By the time you get to Genesis 15, you discover that Abraham didn't have to go through anybody to get to God anymore. That ended in chapter 15. He needed no priest anymore. You don't need a priest when you can stand before God on your own. Are we together? You don't need a priest if you can stand before God on your own. You don't need a mediator when there is no war. You don't need a mediator when you have right standing with God. You don't need a priest when you are reconciled unto God. You don't need a priest. A priest is only needed when you have to go to God because you don't have a right standing with Him. So Genesis chapter 15, God comes to Abraham in verse 1 and he says, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in the vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And behold, and steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, for that shall come out of thy bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought forth abroad, and behold, says, look toward heaven, tell the stars, if thou can be able to number them. And said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now look at six together. Everyone, let's take six together. And he believed God, Are you sleeping? Can we take six together? Let's go. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for what? Righteousness. You see this same portion of scripture quoted in Romans 4, verse 2, verse 3. Romans 4, 3, 9, 22. Talking about this act of Abraham. That when he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. That is, from that minute, Abraham now stood before God. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without a fear of guilt or inferiority. That is, now you stand before God. You have a right standing with God. You can talk to God on your own. You have audience with God. Now, after this scenario, or this happenstance, you discover that Abraham didn't go to any priest. He didn't go through anybody to get to God. In fact, by Genesis chapter 18, God speaks to him about the sin, or better still, the sins of Sodom, and that he was going to destroy Sodom. So he beckons on Abraham, and he says, can I hide this thing from my friend Abraham? He didn't. So he told him, and Abraham now stood on behalf of Sodom, talking to God on behalf of Sodom. Why? Because he now has a right standing with God. In Genesis 14, he went through Melchizedek. He paid tithe to Melchizedek. In Genesis 18, men are now going through him, as it were, to plead to God. Because he now has righteousness. So anybody who has righteousness, or the righteousness of God in Christ, does not need a priest to go to God. The reason for priesthood is to minister on behalf of one to God. Now, when you come to God through Jesus Christ, Hebrews 7:25, you come to God, you are saved. You now can appear in the presence of God, Hebrews 10:19, through a new and a living way, which is the consecration of the body and the blood of Jesus. So you now have a new and a living way. You don't go to God through anybody. You have come to God through Jesus once, and now you are in God's presence. Now you have been declared the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Let me see if you understand that. So you need no priests to go to God. A priest is needed when you don't have a right standing with God. So God's promise to Israel was just like that. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. God says to Israel, he says in verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice, indeed, and keep my commandments, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now look at 6. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, so God is saying that each Jew, by the covenant, should have been able to stand on behalf of everybody on the earth before God. Is that clear to you? Is that clear? That was God's promise to everybody who was a Jew, everybody who was an Israelite. Born by the seed of Abraham, should have been able to stand before God, to minister to God on behalf of the people. But you see, they refused that. They refused that promise. They didn't want that promise. They didn't even believe the promise. So God now opted for one of them. God chose them, which is what the Lord does. The Lord doesn't function by faith. The Lord functions by commandments. Now, faith is to believe what God said. If you obey, if you believe, that's what he said. If you believe it. But the Bible says they did not mix the word that they heard with faith. Hebrews 4:3. They didn't believe it. So now, the commandment came. What was the commandment? Now, if you look at Exodus 19. By Exodus 19, they had not... Okay, let me leave that now. So, in Exodus 28, pardon me, he now says, take unto thy
unto thee thy brother Aaron, and is with him from among children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Exodus 20:1. Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. So that became a commandment. So they became priests. Why? Because the Jews didn't want to. They didn't believe God's word. But they still needed somebody to go on their behalf to God. And so, Aaron's children from the stock and tribe of Levi were chosen to do just that. Now look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 tells you where priests are gotten from. Verse 5. Verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So, they had a commandment, they received the office of the priests. So they took the tithe, because they were the priests. What's a priest again? Come on. What's a priest? Huh? A mediator. So they took the tithes. Okay? They took the tithes from the people because they were the mediators of the people. So the tithe was to serve as a tax. Okay? For the service they render on behalf of the people. It was an obligation. You had to do it. You don't choose not to do it. You have to do it. Because it's a legal requirement under the old covenant. That is, today, people have brought in the tithe, have brought the tithe into the new covenant. And without understanding the proper explanation of scripture, there's nothing as injurious as lifting scriptures out of context. If you want to pay tithe, or give the tithe, they don't give the tithe, you pay the tithe. If you pay the tithe, then there must be a priest to receive the tithe. Hallelujah. Are we together? If you will pay the tithe, there must be a priest. There must be somebody to receive the tithe. And that person must be the one who represents you before God. Come on, guys, are you together? Are we together here? You don't just choose to do whatever because some things are traditions. I met it like that. My grandfather used to do it. My great grandfather used to do it. You know, the body of Christ. People do it and all that. Matthew 15:6, Jesus said that your traditions have made the commandments of God of no effect. Some folks just have traditions. They don't know what it is. They don't know where it is in the Bible. They just do it. They don't try to understand it from the scripture. And we look at this now. Why were the priests given the tithe? Numbers chapter 18. I showed you this last week. Verse 1. The Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. Thou and thy sons shall bear the iniquity of the priesthood. So, they shall be responsible for the priesthood. Now look at I'll take verse 10. In the most holy place thou shalt eat it, every male shall eat it there, it shall be holy unto thee. This is thine, the heave offering of their gift. Numbers 18, verse 11. And with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel are given unto thee, to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee, for a statute forever, everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat it. Verse 12. And of the best of the oil, and of the best of the wine, and the wheat, the first fruits of them, shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And now, notice, they bring it to the house of the Lord, for the Lord, but who takes it? The Levites, the priests. And what is ripe, with his first life in the land, which thou shalt bring unto the house, for they shall be thine. Everyone that is clean thy land, they shall eat of it. Everything is devoted in Israel shall be yours. So he says, everything shall be there. Why? Because they were to stay in the temple. Now look at verse 17. And the firstlings of a cow, and the firstlings of a sheep, and the firstlings of a goat, thou shalt not redeem their holy, thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, they shall burn their fat for offering it by fire for sweet savour unto the Lord. Look at verse 20. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part, I am thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi, look at verse 21 please, all the tenth of Israel for an inheritance. All the tenth for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Can you see this? Alright, look at verse 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they shall offer as an eve offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Can you see that? So, rather than have a portion of land to work and earn an income, they were to work on behalf of those who were working, okay? And then those who were working would take a tenth of all that they had. Now look at that. That means there were 11 tribes. Look at this now. I want to show you something. There were 12 tribes. So all the 12 tribes would take a tenth of what they had. So if all the 12 tribes take the tenth of what they have, that means at the end of the day, the Levite will have 10, right, of the 10 in 10 tribes. That is a whole inheritance of one tribe. Then an additional, are we together? That's why they now take a tenth of the 10 and then they give. Do you understand the calculation? Okay, that is instead of you working, let them work and take a tenth. It's a simple calculation because you work on their behalf to the Lord, before the Lord. So you will not do that and then run a business. Okay? You will not do that and then buy shares. Are we together here? You will not do that and own a university and take money from the university. You will not do that and then be selling shares. No. You will walk singly and singularly in the temple. You must do no other work. You have no inheritance but the tithe of the people. Are we together? Do you understand that? Alright, good. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. That's the essence. And he said, he told you why. He said, because they come before the Lord on behalf of the people. Now look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 18 now. I'm going to read from verse 1. It. And the priests of the Levites and all the tribe of your Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among the brethren. The Lord is their inheritance. Okay? And he has said unto them, and they shall be the priests, as I said unto them, sorry, due from the people. From them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep, they shall give unto the priest on the shoulder, and the two cheeks and the maw. So they are to give, look at verse 5. And the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. And if a Levite comes from any of the gates out of Israel, which is sojourn, and come with all the desire of mind on the place which the Lord hath chosen, he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, and all his brethren the Levites do stand thee before the Lord. That's the essence. Because they are ministering to people on behalf, to God on behalf of the people, so they receive the tithes. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, again, verse 9. Wherefore Levi have no part, no inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord God had promised. Deuteronomy chapter 14 again. 14. 27. To 28. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he has no part, no inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and lay it up within thy gates. I'm going to explain that in a moment. So, the essence of the tithe was to support the priest who had no work. But he had a work. The work was to minister on behalf of the people. And you see, that mediation was a daily work. It's not a yearly work. It's a daily full-time job. It was to mediate on behalf of the people on a full-time basis. It was to come every day. There were some offerings they would do daily, some yearly, some monthly. It was just, so he had to keep working. He had to go in, I showed you, I think earlier in this series, he had to go in, trim the lamps, put light there on, ensure that there's light always in the tent. So when Eli, was going blind and he, had fallen in disobedience, the Bible says the light was almost gone out of the temple. Nobody was attending to the light in the temple. So the priest was to minister daily. And as long as that, and the Bible says that when that light was almost out, there was no revelation in Israel. So the priest had a key role such that they had to be supported by the people. The work was mediation. Don't forget, man could not come to God on his own. So he had to go through a mediator. Even that mediator could not even come on his own. He had to go through blood on behalf of the people. So it was very essential, or it's very essential for us to understand what a priest does. Now later on, Numbers 34, God actually asked them to give Levites some land. Numbers 34. God told them, give Levi some land, guys. But notice what he gave them. 48 villages he gave them. 48. Numbers 34, verse 16. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, these are the names of the men that shall divide land unto Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. So, Eleazar the priest was given land. Now, what land? Look at 35 verse 8. I'll start from 6. Among the cities which you shall give unto Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge. That is, the cities were for what? Refuge, not work. To live. They had increased in number. So this is, we shall appoint for the manslayer, and he may flee either. To them they shall have 40 and 2 cities. Okay, that makes how many? 48. And so all the cities which you shall give to Levi shall be 40 and 8 cities, shall give unto them their suburbs. And the cities which shall give unto the children of Israel, from they have many, you shall have many. And from them that shall have few, you shall give few. Everyone that have or sits on the Levi, according to the inheritance which he inherited. Now, by calculation, they were to give, listen to this, 10% of 1% of the entire land. 10% of 1% of the entire land. Why? Because they were supposed to just live there. It was a place to live. Not a place to work. Not a place to earn income. Why is that? Because they were to minister. Their work was to minister. They were full-time ministers. They were to go out in the morning, and then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday, they would come back, and then they would go to the temple. No. They were to always be at the temple. So those lands were given to them to seek refuge, to live in. Praise the Lord. Let me see how you understand what I just said. To live in. So, that's the essence of the tithe. To give to someone who goes on your behalf to God. That's the essence of the tithe. But that person is who? A priest. Not a pastor. Not a prophet. Not a Bible teacher. Not an evangelist. A priest. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Is that clear to you? A priest. Now, let me show you something else. To understand the essence of the tithe, look at Deuteronomy 14. We read one that says after 3 years you take all the tithe into to the priest. Now, you know why? Look at verse 22. It says, and truly all the increase of the seed that the field brings forth year by year. The tithe is all the increase of the seed that the fields bring forth hereby. Have you noticed that the tithe is not money? Did you notice it? It's not money. Now look at verse 24, 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he chose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and the flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Now look at 24. Notice the intent. If the way be too long for thee, that is, if where you are so far from where? From the pastor's office? From where? The temple where God has chosen that his name be worshipped. You say, if you are too far from there, what do you do? And if you are not able to carry it, can I say tithe is the money? You're not able to carry you have a big farmland and you have the time of it, and you know in those days you don't have trains. You have to carry the thing on camels or so. So you say, if the thing is too much, what do? It is too far from thee, who the Lord God has chosen to set his name, when the Lord thy God bless thee. Thou shalt turn it into what? Huh? Can you see? So it's tithe money? Huh? You shall turn it into what? Money. Go on. And bind up the money in thine hand. Go on. And shall go to the place where the Lord God shall choose. That is, because the place is so far, you can't carry the tithe. It says, turn the tithe to what? Money. Now, look at what you are going to do. 26. Thou shalt bestow the money for whatsoever your soul lost after. For oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, whatsoever thy soul desires, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, and then also. Is that not strange? Are you seeing something here? Look at 27. The Levite that is within the gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase, the same year, and lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, notice, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. Who else? Who else? What else? Fatherless. Who else? The widow. It says, well, so the fatherless and the widow, which are within the gate, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, and the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of your hand that thou doest. Can you see? So the essence of the tithe is to support, right? You even have the fatherless and then the widow and then the stranger. Why the stranger? Because he also has no inheritance. Okay? Are we together? Now notice what he says. He said that the Lord thy God may bless thee. And that's the intent of the law. You follow a rule and regulation, and then God blesses you. But that doesn't follow the spirit of the new covenant. In the new covenant, we are blessed. Not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done. So this doesn't follow suit in the new covenant at all. So notice that the tithe wasn't money, but can be turned to money. When it's turned to money, what do? Do you give it to the priest? Huh? No. You are not to give money to the priest. Hallelujah. Okay. So tithes are for priests. So before the law came, we had just one priest, right? What's his name? Huh? Joseph? What's his name? Melchizedek. So Abraham couldn't go to God on his own, correct? Went to Melchizedek and gave him tithe. Right? Now, under the law, Levites, right? Were the priests, Aaron and the Levites, right? Is that correct? Good. Now, in the new covenant, where will be the priest? Who are the priests? You're quiet? Don't tell me you're not sure. Who are the priests? Huh? Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. Right? On our behalf. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. He's the high priest.
Hebrews 3 verse 1, Hebrews 7, 25. So he's the high priest. Now we just read earlier on that we are a kingdom of what? Priests. Amen. Why are we a kingdom of priests? We don't go to God through anyone. People come to God through us. So the tithe is an obvious impossibility, because there is no office given today for a believer or to a believer where the believer goes through that office to get to God. No. Hallelujah. Is that clear to us, guys?
So, under the new covenant,
the tithing law cannot suffice. Because the new covenant is the covenant of priests. We are all priests of God. And Jesus Christ is our high priest, just like he's the King of Kings, and then the Lord of Lords, and the head of the body of Christ. Is a living stone. We're a living stone. We're a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. So maybe you should start taking tithe. But don't collect money. You can collect bonds, puff, or shawarma, or chicken and chips. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. So, you know, really, we saw last week that such a ministry today of a full-time service before God is not given to a few people in the church. It's actually the ministry of every saint of God. We are all full-time ministers. We are all full-time priests. Say, I'm a full-time priest. You believe that? Say, I'm a full-time priest. That's what you are. A full-time priest. Now, let me show you some other things. Now, you will see that Samuel also was a priest of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and then 3. And he also was a judge, you know, of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. He judged Israel. The judge is somebody who gives decrees on behalf of God. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 3. And Samuel spoke unto the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Asherah from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. He will deliver you out of the land of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Asherah, and serve the Lord only. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Now let's take verse 5 together. One to go. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpeh, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. Can you see that? That's the priest. I will talk to God for you. I will talk to God for you. And they gathered together to Mizpeh and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpeh. So that's what a priest does. He talks to God for you. So, what did Melchizedek do to Abraham? Huh? He talked to God for you. Well, in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham now has a right standing with God. Amen. Praise God. Under the new covenant, nobody serves God on your behalf. Except you are not born again. If you're born again, nobody does it to God on your behalf. David was an example of someone who was a king and he was also a prophet. But he was not a priest. Nobody, I told you, ever combined the king and the priest. It was only Melchizedek that combined the king and the priest. Afterwards, Jesus and the church. Is that okay? David was a king, a prophet. Acts 2:30 says,
He was a prophet. He foresaw what God will do, Acts 2:30, but he was not a priest. In fact, look at Matthew chapter 12. Jesus expressly said David was not a priest. Matthew 12. I've showed you this before in this series. I'll take it again. Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. I mean, they said, look, on the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to eat. I mean, to work on the Sabbath day. And then Jesus said, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered? And they that were with him. Can you see that really? Just like today, people have an ignorance problem. They don't read the Bible. These Pharisees didn't read it. So you have to ask, have you not read it? He was hungry, and they were with him. He entered into the house of God, and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for who? The priests. Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? I say unto you that in this place is one greater, praise God, than the temple. One greater than the temple. So the shewbread, Leviticus 24, put that down from verse 5 to 9. Numbers 28, verse 9, was given only to priests. But these are non-priests, and they took the bread of the priest. You see that in 1 Samuel 21, verse 1 to 6. So Jesus clearly stated. He says, one who is in this temple, or one who is here, is greater than the temple. Hallelujah. Is that the same about us? Is that the same about us? Come on, is that the same about us? Greater than the temple. That is greater than the law. Look at 7. If you had known that this minute, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Verse 8. For the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath day. So he says God won't have sacrifice. God won't stick on sacrifice. He will have mercy. So those who like to follow rules and regulations, 10%, 6%, Sabbath day, Sabbath afternoon, are just bound by sins. So I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Everybody just looked at Jesus. He's always quoting the Bible. But you also have the Bible. Why didn't you read it? You know, they couldn't say, David was a sinner. You dare not say that, don't you? They will stone you. Alright. Said not even been a priest. David wasn't a priest. Yet he took that which belongs to priest. Hallelujah. So we're in a covenant of reality. Hallelujah. We don't deal with symbols. The type. The temple have all been replaced. Everything. In Colossians 2:16, for instance, the Bible tells you that. Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Let no man judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, of the new moon, or of the Sabbath. Now you see that? In meat or drink. Respect of a holy day. He says, of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. Let's take 17 together. Once we go, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is who? Christ. The body is Christ. All the sacrifices taken into the temple, which include the tithe and the first fruit, then the first means are all a shadow. Hallelujah. Said hallelujah. The temple was a shadow.
The physical temple is a shadow. Christ is the reality of all the offerings of the old covenant. You know, Malachi 3:10 talks about bring your tithe into where? The storehouse. Right? That it may be what? Meat in my house. Have you ever had to find out what he was talking about? There will be meat. Meat in the Old Testament is food. There will be food in my house. So when we say there may be food in my house, Malachi 3:10, I know some of you know that. That there may be meat in the storehouse. Now for you to have a storehouse, you must have a temple. Right? A physical temple, not a spiritual one. There's the temple, the storehouse is a part of the temple. Where when you bring all the food, you put the food there. Who takes the food? God? Hey, who? Huh? God. You just come the next day, you don't find it there. When I was younger, I still do it if I can. And I'm going on the road, and I see a bowl with food. And they say they're offering it to God. God is here. So I simply take it and eat it. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember a film I watched by Mount Zion, just one of the few ones I like. Maybe the only one. And then there was this guy who was a missionary, so he was sitting on top of a tree, and some guys brought yam and palm oil to a girl. So he ate it. So the next day, those guys were angry. He said, what? If you were offering this to a god, was he not supposed to eat it? So I said, there may be food in my house. Who were to take the food? The priest. So the storehouse is a storehouse, a real storehouse, where you bring in what? Food. It's a store. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what it was. Read Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, you see that there. The storehouse was where you kept the food that was meant for the priest. So today, the temple we have is not physical. The priesthood we have is not Levi. We are the priest of God. Hallelujah. The tithing law or the tithing practice is null and void. The tithing practice doesn't exist. It's not a command. It's not a teaching. It's not a practice. Not at all. If you are still giving 10% of your money with the belief that they are giving it to God, you are deceiving yourself. Because it's not biblical. The tithe goes to a mediator who goes on your behalf to God. Now that you are in Christ Jesus, you have been reconciled to God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Nobody serves God on your behalf anymore. Now, God has made us His own priests. We just read it. We're a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Say we're a royal priesthood. Say we're a spiritual priesthood. That's what we are. We're a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9. We're a spiritual priesthood. 1 Peter 2:5. We're a kingdom of priests. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. Revelation 1 and 6. We read all that at the beginning of this teaching. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So all believers are what? Huh? So we are all full-time ministers. I explained to you last week that the concept of full-time minister or full-time ministry, part-time ministry, was introduced into the church by people that did not understand the Bible. That concept ended with Jesus Christ. Before the new covenant, some people were chosen out of Israel to serve God. Now, in the new covenant, God has chosen all His sons to serve Him. So all of us are full-time ministers.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen a bit. Why couldn't the priests serve God under the old covenant in his house or in his room or on the road? It was impossible, right? Why? Because it had to be where? In the temple. God was in the temple. So they will go before God. So if you are going to stand before God, people, all the time, can you do it in your room? Can you do it in your house? No. You have to be where? In the temple. So that was the essence of their full-time ministry, being in the temple, and they could not walk. Are we together? Now, the new covenant takes away that practice. The temple is no longer a building. Are you following this? The temple is no longer a building. The presence of God is no longer in a place. The presence of God is with the believer now. All the time. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. He said, you are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. So everywhere we are, where are we? We're in God's presence. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the concept of somebody going to God on anybody's behalf is annulled because we are all priests. Now, the concept of full-time ministry, you say, well, I'm into full-time ministry. Some people ask me, say, when they see what we do, they see us on television, they see us in crusades, they see us in churches all over Nigeria, and they ask me, and I tell them, well, I'm going to work. They say, oh, work. Church office? I said, no. So, what do you mean? Which office again? He said, well, I work. I went to school. I'm trained. I'm trained a lawyer. I'm trained a lawyer. I work in a company. He said, ah. So, I'm not full time. I said, I am. Hey, what do you mean? How can I be full time when you're working? See? They don't understand what they're talking about. They have carried the Levitical priesthood into the new covenant, unconsciously. Hallelujah. Paul was a preacher of the gospel, wasn't he? Then the apostles too. But they were working. Paul said he used to work night and day. So he had night shift, morning shift. He was on call. But he was a preacher. A full-time preacher. You know, Paul said, I said, I labored more abundantly than all the apostles, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9, read from verse 6 to verse 12. He said, I don't take anything for the gospel I preach, lest I abuse my power. I showed that last week. He said, it's true that when somebody is laboring, say you should give him something, you should support him. For the law says you should not muzzle the ox or thresh the corn. It's true. But he said, I don't take this right. That the gospel will be without a charge. Hallelujah. The new covenant priesthood demands that you have a source of income. And it must not be the gospel. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, freely have you received. Isn't it? Freely should you give. Isn't it wrong to support those who teach us? No, it's not wrong. The Bible tells us to support those who teach us the Bible. Teach us God's word. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches all good things. Galatians 6:6. 1 Timothy 5:17, count the elders who rule well, worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For it's written, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. The laborer is worthy of his wages. But that's the honor. That's not a salary. That's to support you. Now, when we're supporting you, and then, sometimes we now need your help. You see, the scandalous things we hear about preachers today is painful.
You're supporting somebody because he's teaching you God's word, and the work he's doing is free, then he's so wealthy. Why? Why so wealthy? Because the members are ignorant of the Bible. They think they have a duty from the Bible to give 10% of their money to the pastor. They think they have a duty, they are duty bound from the Bible to give the first fruit of their increase unto the pastor. They think they owe him a prophet's offering. So they begin to support the greed and the appetite of the minister, who they think is like Aaron. Are you following what I'm saying? They think he's like the Levite. But they are wrong. He doesn't go to God on your behalf. No. He's just a trainer. One who trains you by the word of God. And who should live by example also. Every preacher should live by example. You should have a source of income. Acts 20:33, Paul says, look, you know, I have not taken any man's silver or gold or apparel. These hands have worked for me. Would to God that every preacher can see that. So that rather than give, take from you, I've shown the Lord Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. So these hands have ministered to my needs. Those that were with me. And I've shown you by soul laboring, you support the poor and the weak. If you're a real minister of the gospel, you should go to work in the morning. Come back in the evening. Support the work of the gospel. Okay? And give to the poor. Not from what the poor give you. You see merciless preachers today take from poor people to buy lands and houses all over the place. Because the poor people think that these guys stand on their behalf to God. So they don't pray, they expect the pastor to pray. They don't read the Bible, they expect the pastor to read the Bible on their behalf. So they settle him. Give him PR for what he's doing. The new covenant does not permit such. But we are all the priests of God. Say, I'm a priest of God. A priest is a full-time job. Amen. Let me see if you understand that. It's a wrong concept, an imported idea from the Old Testament to the New. Hebrews 13:15. As priests of God, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. 1 Peter 2:5. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. 1 Peter 2:5. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. So the priests do minister continually. They minister all the time. Hebrews 7 again. Hebrews 7. Verse 27. I'll read from 26. It says, for such a high priest became of us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. So the work of a priest is a daily work. They do it daily, all the time. It's a full-time job. Now so you ask me, what are our responsibilities as priests in the earth? Today. One, God has committed the message of reconciliation to our hands. As the priest of God in Christ. That responsibility is not for some people. See, some people have the idea that as I am here, God has called me to preach. That we're all here now, we have to believe that, are you called to the ministry? Are you called to the ministry? Are you called to the ministry? I showed you, I think in our series, so, concerning the gifts of God, that the word call to the ministry is foreign in the new covenant. It's a foreign concept. People brought that idea. Why? Because Paul, on the road to Damascus, was hit by light, fell to the earth, and then Jesus said, for this cause have I appeared to you.
And then they believe that that is called to ministry. That for me to know I'm in the ministry, I must fall somewhere, maybe on my rug at home, or on the road to VI, I fall on Third Mainland Bridge. Everybody's, what's going on? Then the light says, I've called thee, I'm called. Or a man of God says, James, I just see the Lord use you. That call. So everybody has that idea. But that's not it. We are all priests of God. Hallelujah. That's a full-time, lifetime job. The ministry is a responsibility that is given to every Christian. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you ask yourself, if you tell yourself that I'm not in the ministry, I'm not a full-time minister, you are just a full-time lazy Christian. That's what you are. That if you are here now. Now, if you are ignorant, another thing. But if I've said this to you, and you leave this place and say, I'm not a full-time minister. It's pastor that is full-time minister. He's the one that should bother himself about soul winning, evangelism, prayer, and all those things. Me, I'll just take care of my family. My own is just to be okay. My own, as long as I'm okay, and all that. You know, you're just a lazy Christian. Ephesians chapter 4. Are we together? Come on, guys, are we together? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, watch what they are for. For the work of the ministry. That what it says? Huh? What are they for? I thought for the work of the ministry. For what? Who are the saints? All believers, right? For the perfecting of the saints, then what? Then for the edifying of the body of Christ. The original is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So, the pastor is to mature you for what? Huh? For ministry work. The essence of the pastor is to train you so that you can do ministry. Then that brings edification to the body of Christ. Ministry is not a special vocation for some people in the church. You are not a Jew. A disobedient one anyway. You are a priest of God. You are a son of God. Ministry is your responsibility full time. A priesthood in Christ bestows on us a responsibility to preach the message of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5. If you're following this, can you say amen? Come on, say amen if you're following this. 2 Corinthians 5, look at this. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, everybody quotes this. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I'm born again. So, that's true. You're a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Can we take verse 18 together once ago? And all things are of God. By Jesus Christ. Go on. And has given us what? So, if you're a new creation, you have been reconciled to God, right? If you have been reconciled to God, you have been given what? What? A ministry of reconciliation. So, what are you? A minister of reconciliation. Who is a priest? A priest is a minister. So, you are a minister of reconciliation. Look at 19. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us what? The message of reconciliation. Say, I have the message of reconciliation as a responsibility full time in the earth today. Have you been functioning as one? Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. The priest of God, for the people, you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:11-12, according to the glorious gospel of his blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I thank God who enabled me, counted me faithful, and put me in the ministry. Verse 12. So everybody has been counted faithful. 1 Timothy 2:6, Paul says, I'm a preacher of the work of Jesus. So it's not the message
have been committed to you.
Acts 26. Acts 26. Look at this. Verse 18. To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. Hallelujah. From the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. And inheritance among them which are sanctified. By faith that is in me. That's the message. That's the work. That's the work. Because until there's a preacher, nobody can be saved. Somebody has to preach the message. Romans 10:14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. How shall they preach? Except they be sent. How beautiful are the feet that bring the glad tidings of good of peace to us. So how shall they hear without a preacher? In Acts 10, remember that man Cornelius. He was always offering alms before God as a memorial. And the angel appeared to him from verse 4 and 5. And he says, your alms have come to God as a memorial. Send unto Joppa a man called Simon Peter. For he will tell you words whereby you will be saved. So somebody has to say those words. And they must be saved. And that person is a priest of God. The man who is born again. In Acts 5, the angel said to Peter, he set him free, took out the chains from his hands. He said, go out there and to the temple and tell the people the words of this life. So that responsibility is committed to you. You have to preach the gospel. An ambassador of God. A priest of God. A joint heir with Jesus. On the earth today. Secondly, you have to pray. That responsibility gives you the duty to pray. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, he says, supplications, intercessions, prayers, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, for rulers, to those who are in authority. So you see, you have a responsibility to pray. To pray for people. You cannot but pray for those who don't have a right standing with God. Look at Peter's case. Luke 22. Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you. But I prayed for you. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now why? Because Peter didn't have a right standing with God. So somebody has to go on your behalf to God. So we have a responsibility to pray for people. As priests of God. We don't have a temple to go to. We have already entered into God's holy temple once and for all. We're there now. Whether you are driving, you're at your workplace, whether you are in your room, on the street, in the airplane, you're in America, you're in Europe, you're in South America, you're in Eastern Africa, Western Africa, wherever you find yourself, there you are fully in the office of a priest. Is that clear? Is that clear? Full time. God has called you to full time ministry. We're to praise God continually. Hebrews 13:15. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're to give thanks to God all the time. This is the will of God in Christ concerning us. Melchizedek becomes a shadow of you and I. He was a king. He was a priest. Same thing. Today we are kings in the earth. We sit the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. Ephesians 1, 20 to 22. We reign and rule in Christ. Romans 5, 17. We're kings. We're also priests. To minister. Behalf of God to people. Behalf of people to God. The temple is where we are now. We don't come and go out of the temple. We are here in the temple. Wherever we go, the temple of God, as it were, goes with us to minister for people and to minister unto God. So, invariably, everyone ought to be fully engaged in ministry work. Engaged in prayer, always. Engaged in preaching and teaching the gospel, always. And engaged and engrossed in offering praise unto God. If you're here today, and you still see ministry as a responsibility of a few, then you are walking in disobedience. To obey will mean to take ministry as a full-time job. Your full-time job. Your full-time responsibility. Your full-time ministry. To preach, to teach, to pray, and to praise God. Next week we'll try a round of. But you're a priest of God. You need no mediator. You need no one you have to go through to get to God and to reach God. You are with God now. Hallelujah. You are before Him now to pray, to praise, and then to stand before the people to preach the message of reconciliation. Your job is not an excuse. Rather, it's a platform. Hallelujah. Your work is not an excuse. It's a platform. Look at me today, I'm educated. That's why I can go to many countries and talk. So the education I went through becomes a platform. Same as you. Whatever platform you have, a student, a worker, a lawyer, a doctor, a banker, it's a platform. You're a priest who is a banker. You're a priest who is a doctor. A priest who is a lawyer. A minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that work is full time. Is that clear to you? Do you understand that? Is that clear to everybody? Stand to your feet. God praise you.